So the year on development was in the 1950s.
Yeah.
57 as a key date.
Yeah, yeah.
That by 55, by the mid-50s, the company was considerably diversified and a little bit different from...
It was different in that we were selling, well, we were also selling to the pulp and paper industry. We had a separate division set up from the sales standpoint. Because many of the things that we knew from the textile industry naturally felt pulp and fitted into pulp and paper. Some years ago, we disbanded the pulp and paper industry because we found that the bulk of the materials being used in the industry, as far as we were concerned, were what were known as defoamers, which were sold, even though we felt we could make a somewhat better one still, they were sold in large quantities by people like the big oil companies. They're all based on mineral oils and other, you know, related things, and it just wasn't profitable for us to furnish the kind of service and that was needed and to come out with the thing. So we decided, while technically we could do a job, it was not a lucrative industry for us.
So that was a whole area you got into.
We had a number of salesmen. We had a number of salesmen. We were in it for quite a number of years, did a lot of good work, but we felt it was not worth our development and attention, because we still look at the thing from the standpoint of what do we get out of it. Just for volume, we were selling carloads after carloads of these defoamers, but so what? You can't.
But and you yourself, Sydney, were ranging all across the board from the lab to the
commercial
decision.
That's right. My partner. Let me try to get some handle on that. My partner, shortly after we started Dexter, became ill to a certain extent. Within the first year, he had a heart attack. It was all right. However, he, you know, I don't know whether to tell you to say this or not, but they suffered.
You can always edit it out after.
All right, yeah. He and his family suffered from some kind of, apparently, a congenital heart and circulation problem, where the nearest thing I knew was that he had one of these very variable pulses. The heart would change very quickly. He had a young sister who died from this, you know, would black out and disappear. A younger brother who died from this. And my own partner was kept along by some very outstanding doctors with certain drugs, etc., in New York. But some 25 years ago, he had a massive, I guess it's more or less 25 years ago about, he had a massive stroke and after a few months died. But during a big part of the time, he apparently was having very small strokes, which meant, from my viewpoint, that really he was not able to do too much in the business. So as far as I was concerned, he was an active partner really only, let's say, the first 5 years, I mean, of Dexter. From there on, it was a different story. In our agreement, well, anyhow, the agreement was such that he wasn't able to do, and he stayed on for a number of years. Finally, I worked out with the family and everything where I took over and bought out everything. He's a very wonderful guy, but unfortunately, the illness. So in terms of many of the, after the first 5 years, he had very little part. Actually, he was, in a way, a detriment to the, he was extra, had to keep his name down as a director of sales when the sales could never go out or travel or this or that. You know, I mean, it was. But that's it. We'll edit out a lot of this, but those are the facts.
So that in practice, you were very much on your own.
That's right. Even in the early days, I said, this is what we do. Trying to think of some other things.
You didn't ever seriously think of getting in another key partner in that way?
I don't want no partners, no. Bringing up the fellas, look, far as the people that are in the company, the gentleman who's the president of Dexter Chemical, Leo Goldberg, never had another job. He came to work as a kid out of the Marines. At the end of the war, I needed somebody to wash bottles in the laboratory. He was recommended to me. All he had ever done was graduate a technical high school in Brooklyn.
So he wasn't a chemist essentially?
Nope. He came to work for Dexter. Simply a boy, had a feel for technicals, a Marine, nice looking boy. I insisted, after a while he could see he was the kind that didn't watch the clock and, you know, was a worker. I insisted that he go and get a degree in chemical engineering, which he did from Brooklyn Polytech by going at night. I think it's 7 years when he got a degree and learned the chemistry and everything. Today he's the president of my company. He basically is my successor. And a lot of people should get, I don't want this in there either, but you can. Yeah, stop it for a minute. Some of the people, one of our vice presidents came with me from my other company and stayed. His name was Mac, was an MIT graduate of class of 1915. He was vice president and manager of New England. He got older, wanted to retire. Retired him at full salary and kept him on until he died in his 80s. I mean, this is the kind of, you know.
What's the internal organization of the company? The number of chemists, the lab, what's the size of that today?
Well, let me try to get the company, you know, there's another thing. The company expanded and had subsidiary companies or separate companies, however I owned it or however Dexter, the main company, owned it, in several countries. So this becomes a picture.
Starting when? Can you play out that piece
of
the story?
This became a personal, shall we say, almost a hobby. I was always interested in other parts of the world and doing business in foreign companies. Our first real adventure was about 2 years after Dexter was organized. Yes, it must be approximately 1947. I was approached by a representative of a very large company in Argentina that owned textile plants, many other type of plants in Argentina and South America, about possibly manufacturing our type of chemical. Well, I looked into it and I pursued the idea, and it was very exciting. The proposition was simply this: no investment on my part. They would build a plant, do everything according to our instructions, and we would help them and give them advice, etc. And they would pay us 10% of their sales, period. I mean, that's the thing, the final deal I made. I spent time in Argentina. I had them, some of their key men up. We designed the plant based on what we were doing and making similar chemicals. and in fact had operated for a number of years. The interesting thing was that it started, this was like 1947, when Perón came in, and the thing was doing extremely well because they owned big textile plants in a number in Brazil and Chile and in Argentina. They were tied in with DuPont in manufacturing rayon, that kind of thing. So you had a good market to start with. And I used to go to Argentina and have a wonderful time. I had all the money I wanted to spend. And I could tell you a lot of other stories, but I won't. A lot of fun. Beautiful place in those days. And the only thing that happened is that Perón came in. Turned out very soon after we're making this money, you couldn't take the money out. You had to deposit in Perón's bank. And they took away about 50% of it. And it stayed there, and the thing was very successful over a number of years. When I finally got the money, when I was earning the money, the peso started off at 10 to the dollar. By the time you were able to take it out, it was thousands to the dollar. The only thing I got out of it was the fun of going down there and having all the money to spend before Americans had ruined, you know, tourists had come to ruin the place. So that was the first one, which lasted for a number of years. The other one was a joint effort in Mexico, which followed about two or three years later than that. And that was an arrangement where we semi-manufactured, we made certain chemicals in a very concentrated form and shipped them to this company in Mexico, and we helped them and worked with them, and they sold them under our name in Mexico. And that went on for about 25 years, and it was profitable. And Mildred and I were close to the people, and we enjoyed Mexico. The next big operation was in Israel, which goes back a lot of years. About 1968, more or less.
After the Six-Day War.
Right after the Six-Day War, I won't mention names. I was approached by a big financier who has a lot of operations in America, a lot of operations in Israel. I knew very well, why shouldn't we, after all, there's a textile industry and others, why shouldn't we make chemicals there? He was the main stockholder in a very big company that had sales divisions, etc., in Israel. I agreed to start, and we started with the joint sales effort, salesmen, our technical ability, and we started by bringing over chemicals to Israel, but that was not very good. And I didn't think being a part of a big company was the thing because you're held back. But we got out of the thing, friendly-like, and I started a Dexter subsidiary where we started off by bringing over chemicals, having our own technicians, but I could bring over our own American technicians. And then we decided, we bought land, we're going to build a plant, and time went on, too complicated building the plant. Unfortunately, you want this information may be useful. The Consolidated Foods owned a subsidiary company. They had bought Oxford Chemical, which is started in Atlanta, whose business was making sanitary chemicals, as we call them generally. And they had built a very beautiful plant in Israel, very big plant on 10 acres of ground with everything, with special rights from the government. And it was completely unsuccessful. They should never have gone into it because they didn't know the country. To make a long story short, we bought this company, a very good deal, which gave us, firstly, a factory, I think, of about 40,000 square feet, beautiful new modern factory, high, you know, double stories, some equipment, land, everything. And we also took over their international business in Oxford Chemicals for certain parts of the world. We started Dexter Chemical International, or Dexter Chemical of Israel, and it was quite successful for a number of years. In fact, it won, 1 year, won the government award for the outstanding exporter and manufacturer of chemicals. And we shipped our chemicals, had technicians into Europe, mainly into Italy, into Spain, into Greece. And we started also to ship out of subsidiary into Iran and also South Africa, also to Hong Kong. Some of the places we would ship concentrates where they would simply dilute it. And it did very well. But then this company was, then we made it a publicly held company. Instead of being a subsidiary of Dexter, it became a publicly held company, oh, 6 or 7 years ago approximately. Dexter kept 85%, something like that. This was done for certain very good tax advantages and whatnot in Israel, gave us certain advantages. The company was doing very well until the inflation got to be quite a few 100%. During that period, it was impossible for Dexter US, which is me, to really know what's going on. In fact, the last year of inflation, because you can't have that business, had three accountants, all of which are outstanding. One claimed I broke even the year. The other claimed I made $400,000. The other claimed I lost $250,000. And I decided, that's because of interchanges. It's just I decided it was time to get out of these things. So Dexter in Israel was sold to a large company, an Israeli company, to operate. We agreed to help them and give them formulas and allow them to keep certain of the international customers that they were doing.
When was that?
This was 3 years ago, more or less, that we sold it to them. And it still exists as Dexter Israel, but we only wish them well and try to help them wherever we can. We're not involved. We do ship them certain concentrates and things that they can't, not easy for them to make there. The relationship is a very friendly thing. We also in Iran started a company, had a set up, but got out just in time when the Shah was deposed. We were doing business in Iran. And in South Africa for several years, we had a company there, but also I saw the handwriting on the wall with the feeling in America about South Africa, and we sold that company. Actually, it wasn't an enormous deal, but it was a company, Dexter South Africa. We also had for a number of years a sales company, more or less, in Great Britain called Dexter Technical Services, where we did quite a bit of business for many years, with most of the chemicals coming from the Israeli plant, some from here, but mostly from that. The sales company I sold that back to some of the people there. Frankly, the United States market is big enough, and with my age, and remember that my will, the company is left to my foundation. It doesn't need to be encumbered with all these outside things, which in the long run were never big money makers. They were good publicity things, and they were fun, but it's better to put the efforts here. That's the story. Mm-hmm. Today we have no foreign subsidiaries. And as a whole, we refuse foreign business. We tell them, get in touch with the Israeli company if they want. You play Canada, we do business still. But I had a tremendous amount of fun, met a lot of people, and things that people you never get unless you've been in business. You see things, and unless you, only by being there. I can tell you stories about Iran, for example, that are unbelievable. Now, what else would you like to know about? Wait.
Let's just stay with the company a little bit more.
Yeah, go ahead. You ask the questions.
And if we look now in the company in the recent past,
yeah.
Can you characterize the fields?
The company is expanding. Well, there is another thing that we're in. I think I'll leave out the work in psoriasis and the form of biochemical, but it's a sort of a subsidiary thing, personal. I don't think that belongs in here.
Well, let's just mention that there is a subsidiary.
There is a subsidiary company in the biochemical field, particularly concerned with psoriasis and the way of controlling that. And research, for the most part, is being carried on in Israel as another side interest of Dexter U.S.
Yeah.
Looks very interesting and very... the future of Dexter, where you think? What would you like to know?
The company in the U.S. in the 1980s now, its areas of
the company
of operation
in the United States,
really
it
are.
Is still the important areas of operation are as follows. We can divide it up into three areas that are important. One, we can call the regular textile industry, the normal textile industry.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we can call the garment processing industry. That's where you look. It's a sort of an off branch. Remember I was explaining that to you? And third, broadly industrial chemicals. Industrial chemicals, we consider the field of paints and certain subsidiary things. There is a certain amount of cosmetic chemicals that go into this field. We develop certain chemicals, for example, phosphate treating of metals. Always certain of our phosphated chemicals, we're working in that field. So it's a rather broad industrial field. And so there are three brain fields. I would say it runs something like this. I would say our business runs 40% right now, 40% general textiles, 40% garment processing, and 20% industrial chemical. That's more or less the way it's running. The big expansion, I see it, is in the garment processing and in the industrial field. After all, the textile industry, the normal textile industry in the United States went backwards. So if we're able to stay up, it's a lot. Except they need quality more, so our business is better off. You see, because they can't afford to do the way they were doing.
What sort of number of technically qualified people does the company employ in sales?
Let me give me a minute. I can count them on the thing. Let's see. We have the thing is, it's sort of a hard distinction to make between outside technical servicemen and salesmen, because they're both the same. It's just the technical service, then more they will travel to more things. The salesmen tend to stay in the territory, but they're all technical men. Let me count them up now. I would say we have about approximately technical service outside field men, something like 35, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
And in the lab?
In the laboratories, I would say we have 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm. And the manufacturing, is it all done in Brooklyn?
No. No, as a matter of fact, not Brooklyn, the Bronx. We have a subsidiary plant in Newark. And we do some, and we have laboratories, warehouses, and minor manufacturing, beautiful building in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of the heavy manufacturing is done in the Bronx and in Newark. I don't want to identify the place because we took over a whole big thing over there, and people don't need to know where.
When you were thinking about the future of the company, can you say a little about the thinking that led you to decide on a foundation structure rather than selling the company?
It's a very simple thing, and I have my own particular feeling about things. The company is a very profitable company beyond the sales. It makes quite a few million dollars, and it pays extremely well to the people that work there. I have nobody in my family at the moment that wanted to take over and continue as such. I felt I owed two things. I felt, one, I owed to the people that have worked there, presently a part of it, to preserve the company and keep it going. That's number one. Number two, I felt for the good of the trade in the field, they need a company like ours to keep going. Three, I felt that neither my wife or my daughter, my grandson, etc., should have the kind of money for their own personal use that comes from a company like that. And they're all well taken care of, and they have no problems and no future outside of the company. Therefore, I felt the best thing to do would be to leave it to my foundation. And the people that have to run the foundation would be mainly my family, because it gave them the obligation of seeing that things were done right without using the money for themselves. And I think it makes them make them better citizens to do it. That's the idea for those three things. And you must remember, the company is a family, close-knit. When I say family, I don't mean actual relative, but knowing everybody, because everybody knows everybody. For example, the president of my company has been part of the family 43 years. The family, we had to move, my daughter, my grandson, you know. So they're all close. Our attorney, the member, the present moment, the foundation and the board of directors of the company, which is the same, consists, while I'm alive, of course, I'm there. My daughter, my son-in-law is a member of the foundation. The man who's the president of my company, who's been with me from the beginning, doesn't know any other thing but me and the company, is a member. My attorney, who's been with me and the family all these years, is a member. And the gentleman who's been the president of the prep school is an ex-Presbyterian minister of the prep school I went to, is a member of the board. Now, these are all people oriented towards education, towards charities, towards good work. My family's been taught that. The other people know how I want, so I think it will continue. But that's the idea of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arnold, I think there's one of the points in the way of a product that hasn't been mentioned, how there can be very good cross-fertilization from one industry to another, and sometimes a person in one industry doesn't realize that something that's working there might fit another industry for a different purpose, but still because of certain properties. And I have a very special one I want to cite. While there's been several of these things in Dexter, for example, the phosphates into the paint industry, there's a very specific thing that I want to discuss. because it also indicates how attending meetings and listening to other people in what seems to be feels far removed can help and be of use. I'm specifically going to refer to a particular product. Dexter was making, from the time it started, a particular special highly sulfated castor oil, which was made by a very special process so that it developed properties different from a normal sulfated castor oil. And it had extremely high SO3 content. This chemical was stable in strong salt solutions, strong caustic, and many, many things. Dexter got the idea from Hart Products. It was when I was at Hart, my chemist was there. But we developed the technique to somewhat, the manufacturing technique to a greater extent. So we made an outstanding product. This product was sold and used by us in the very fine worsted textile industry, because this chemical seemed to form a loose compound with the protein of the wool fiber and protected it from being broken down